Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good morning, VBF and Valley Vegas family. I was thinking today how much I miss you guys. I miss seeing you, talking to you, seeing your beautiful young faces. I mean, it doesn't matter what campus you go to. I really miss the people in Vegas and Thousand Oaks and Ventura, and I miss all the campuses here and even Springville, and oh, I could go on to Tehachapi. Just want to see your faces again, so I pray it's not long that before we're back here and we're together again. Now, I want to pray something very simple before I start, and that is, Father God, anoint me and anoint the people. Use me as a vessel and a conduit for your word. Lord, I know that I don't have what it takes to minister a message or to give a message today, this morning, that's going to penetrate the hearts of the people. I don't have the ability to give a message that's going to encourage people and lift them up, but the Holy Spirit does have that power. And the Bible says, when I'm weak, then you're strong. And Lord, every time I come into this pulpit, I am weak. Every time I come into this pulpit, I have to pray for your strength. So I pray for it again. And I pray you'd open the hearts of the people up to hear and see what they're supposed to hear and see. In Jesus' name, and everybody out there can say, amen. I think I heard you. Now, today I want to talk about what we're going through at the moment, the season of life that we're going through, and how it fits into Bible prophecy. Now, I was thinking as I drove down here tonight how that 40, 45 years ago I was teaching Bible prophecy, and I remember thinking that, you know what, if the Soviet Union ever dissolved and Russia stood alone, man, that would fulfill Bible prophecy. Boy, I would like to see that happen. And you know what? It happened. And then I thought, man, if Russia ever came out of her place in the north and came down into the Middle East, right around the Israel area, that would be Bible prophecy, man. And you know what? It happened. Just like the Bible said it's going to happen, it happened. And I thought, okay, Russia's over here in Syria, right next door to Israel. That'd be crazy if Iran joined her. And Iran joined her because they're allies in the Bible. I thought, that isn't a coincidence. Oh, my goodness, the Lord's coming back. And I thought, now if Turkey would start making a move, because Turkey might be Gomer in Ezekiel, and if Turkey makes a move, we're really in business. And sure enough, just lately, Turkey's starting to make the move down into the Middle East, and I'm going, oh my gosh, all of the players are lined up. Wow! It looks like Ezekiel's prediction of a war might be coming. And then I started to think about how that when I worked in a grocery store, we used to have to ring up every item with a cash register. And I thought, if there's ever a way that we'd begin to scan items in the grocery store, I would know that the Lord's return was near. And sure enough, I think it was a pack of Wrigley's gum or something that first came out with a barcode. And I'll tell you, I was blown away going, the Lord's coming back. We can now scan stuff. That is amazing. And then I began to think, now, Bible prophecy would really be coming into play if they ever discovered oil or gas reserves in Israel. And sure enough, Golan Heights, they found it. And I thought, oh, now the motivation is there for all of these nations, Russia and Iran and Turkey, to invade Israel. And oh my, I thought, it's all lining up. And then I thought, now, I'm waiting for there to be a great falling away from the faith. And during my era, it was the Leave It to Beaver era and Ozzie and Harriet, and it seemed like everybody in my proximity loved Jesus. And all of a sudden, the last few years, we've seen a great falling away. We've even come to a place where a lot of Christians are hated in America. And then I was thinking on the way down here, if we ever get a president that doesn't like Israel at all, then we are really fitting into Bible prophecy. And that might happen in the near future. We just don't know. Now, last week, I purposely got you away from what's going on. Sometimes it doesn't look like that we're doing stuff intentionally, but we are. And I did that because I felt our minds were so bogged down with all this information overload or misinformation overload, and I needed to give you a break from it. So I just spoke on something called judgmentalism, and it was on my heart. I wanted to get you away from everything that's going on for a while, but now I'm coming right back. And today I want to refocus your attention on Bible prophecy and the return of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say something at the outset of my message this morning, and that is, what's going on today is not a direct fulfillment of prophecy as much as I think that what's going on today is going to point to things prophesied about in the Scripture. It's going to lead to those things. It's the domino effect. I think this virus that we're, you know, contending with right now might cause some things to transpire that might lead to Bible prophecy. Now, it is my opinion that in a very short while, we are going to get over this virus. I think life will go back to being somewhat normal. But because we're living in the last days, I think so many things are going to transpire out there that would not have transpired had it not been for this season. And although it'll look on the surface like things are coming back to normal, things will never, ever again be normal because we're moving toward the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to get you to think about this, and I want you to remember that this virus that we're contending with today is not anything really new as far as world history is concerned. I mean, the plague of Athens happened in 430 BC, and approximately 110,000, 115,000 people died. The Black Death came along in 1346 to 1353, and it wiped out one half of Europe. The Russian plague came in 1770 to 72, and again, over 100,000 deaths resulted from that plague. The flu pandemic came in 1889 to 1890, and again, well over 100,000 people died. And there was a Spanish flu with about 500,000 deaths. There was the Asian flu that got its roots in China, and it was over 100,000 deaths. The AIDS epidemic with probably about 32 million deaths. The swine flu that was just a little over a decade ago, and they had over 150,000 deaths, and I could go on and on and on. So there's been plagues like this before. I think COVID-19, I don't know where we're at, I think about 190,000 deaths worldwide or something like that. Now, the SARS virus, you might remember, was caused from a type of virus called coronavirus. And so this isn't anything new as far as world history is concerned. But my concern is the timing of this virus. My concern is what's going on behind the scenes. See, right now, because of the virus, or at least we're using the virus for an excuse, there's going to be all kinds of political ramifications because we live in the last days, and I see some stuff happening that's really kind of scary behind the scenes. We have a new social order possibly coming about because of this. We keep talking about, you know, there's all kinds of probably some conspiracy theories or whatever, but a mandated vaccine possibly, and people's talking about identification chips going in your skin, and we could go on and on and on. So because of all this information, misinformation, all these conspiracy theories, all of this fake news out there, I want to take you back to the Bible. The Bible's 100% authentic. And whereas you don't know what to believe and what not to believe out there with all the stuff going on, with the Bible, you know exactly what to believe. So let's look at the Bible and see what it says about these things. Now, before I take you to Luke chapter 21, let's look at a few verses. The first verse I want to look at is 2 Timothy 3:1. But realize this, Timothy said, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Now I'm going to ask you a question. If you really, really believe that we're living in the last days, and we're living in the last part of the last days, if you really believe that, then is this really taking you by surprise? Are you really saying, what's going on? Shouldn't you be saying, I believe that what's going on is what's prophesied in the Bible, things that should go on. I mean, I think everything's happening pretty much just the way it's supposed to. Look at 2 Peter 3:3-4. Know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. That is not true. These scoffers, because they want to enjoy their sin, they don't want to think about getting right with God. They go, hey, everything's still the same. No, politics are changing rapidly. People's attitudes are changing. World conditions are changing. Our education systems are changing. Our morals are changing. Now listen to me. I'm saying a lot of important things today, and I really want you to listen to this verse in Ephesians 2:1-2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of that spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Hello. Who are the sons of disobedience? It's people who choose not to serve God and hate God. It says that the spirit of the devil in the world is working through them. They're not hearing God. A lot of the people making decisions for us today aren't hearing God. That's why we need to be praying. Look at 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, but that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Oh, I'm telling you. Someone's calling the shots. I mean, the devil is behind this whole thing. You can count on it. And I believe we can say as Christians, what the devil has meant for evil, God will turn into good. I believe that. So you say, well, the devil's working behind the scenes. Oh, he is. I'm not so sure that one of the main goals of the devil in this whole thing is to shut the church down. He wants the church gone. He doesn't want us around anymore. But I'll tell you what, I got news for the devil. It isn't going to work. And if I say it in Bakersfield language, it ain't going to work. Look at 1 John 4:4 so I don't leave you discouraged. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Romans 13:1. Every person is to be subjection to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. God's over the authorities that aren't even serving him. Look at 1 John 3:8. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. I mean, the church is the force that God wants to use today to destroy the works of the devil. Oh, he's moving. Count on it. But we're stronger. The church united is stronger. It's time for the church to start praying. Don't let the enemy lullaby you to sleep, especially during this season. I was thinking this morning, and sometimes I wake up with these thoughts that I think are from God. And I was thinking that even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We war with spiritual weapons. And the thought hit me, how many Christians daily are using spiritual weapons? We're using the name of Jesus. We're using authority to cast demons down. I doubt many. Oh, I got more to say about that possibly next week. I believe with all of my heart right now that the devil is hoping that the church will go away during this crisis. But I have news for him. We are not going away. We're going to grow stronger. You guys are giving. I cannot believe you're giving. You're blowing me away. You're still tithing and giving. Bless your hearts. You're still praying and supporting, and we're talking to one another. I love it. I love it. I love it. Let me go on because I'm watching the clock. Let's go to Luke 21 and see what it says. We'll do a verse by verse here for another 20 minutes, 25, and we'll be through. While some were talking about the temple, that it was adorned with beautiful stones and votive gifts, he said, now here's the deal. By night, Jesus and the disciples were staying up on Mount of Olives. During the day, they'd go down and he'd preach in the temple, minister, and they'd go back to the Mount of Olives. So they're down at the temple on this particular day, and for some reason, the disciples got really enamored with these stones in the building of the temple. And they were probably walking out or going in either, I don't know. And they go, Jesus, man, these stones are gorgeous. I mean, Herod, when he built this temple, he didn't spare any expenses at all. And some of these stones were massive. Some of them were 100 tons. I mean, more than, some say 150, 160 tons. Some of these stones were just massive. And they were just sitting back admiring these stones and the work of the temple. And then Jesus just drops a bomb on them. Look at verse number 6. He says, for these things which you're looking at, the days will come in which there will not be left one stone upon another, but they're all going to be torn down. He said that. He said, the days are coming. And about 40 years after this, in 70 AD, Roman General Titus came down with the Roman troops and they destroyed the temple. They destroyed the holy places. Now, it's rumored, and I don't know if this is true or not, but when they set the temple on fire, that all the gold in the temple began to melt from the intense heat and went down the cracks between the rocks and between the stones. And that motivated the Roman soldiers to tear those stones apart, trying to get the gold out, trying to get the gold out. Maybe it was just sheer vandalism, I don't know. But what Jesus said was going to happen, it happened. They tore all the stones down. They just obliterated the place. And then we go on to verse 7. They questioned him, saying, Teacher, when therefore will these things happen? Now they're saying, when will the temple be destroyed? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? Now, the apostles here, or the disciples, they are equating the destruction of the temple with Jesus setting up his kingdom. They think they're going to happen simultaneously. So Jesus has to really answer two questions at the same time, because he knows they're separate events, but they don't. They think they're simultaneously going to happen. In fact, look at Matthew 24:3, and it's a little more plain about what I think is being said here. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming, and what will be the end of the age? So he's going to have to answer two questions here at once. Look at verse number 8. And he said, see to it that you're not misled. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. Now, it says, I am he. In the Greek, it just says, I am. The he's in parentheses. So they're saying, I am. And the time is near. Don't go after these people. Now, I think that this talks about false messiahs, which there's been a bunch of them. But I think it even goes further than that. We have voices in our world today going, I am the one with wisdom. Whether it be a late night talk show host, whether it be a news station, we have all these celebrities, these gurus, these people that say, I am the one with wisdom. I have the right philosophy. I have the right theories. I have the right. A lot of people saying, I am. Listen to me. And he says here, don't buy into what these gurus and these celebrities, and these people think they're all that, saying, I am, listen to me. Don't buy into it. Now look at verse 9. When you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately. He's trying to tell them. He's saying, hey, there's some stages to this thing here. So he says, expect wars. The Gulf War and you know, the Afghanistan War, World War I, World War II, the Arab Spring, protests. He said, expect this stuff. It's going to be happening. Now look at verse 10, 11. It gets better. Then he continues by saying to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes. And in various places, there will be plagues and famines. and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. Earthquakes, man, they are happening so rapidly. See, the Bible says that once this whole prophetic timetable starts, it'll be like birth pains. It'll start getting quicker, 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 quicker. Now, it's really interesting. The definition for plagues here is incurable diseases. So there's going to be a lot of incurable diseases, things you're not going to have a cure for. See, the coronavirus doesn't surprise God. He saw it way beforehand. In fact, I really believe, gang, you better get ready. Because if the Lord doesn't come back soon, this might just be the start of a lot of things like this. Because the birth pains, they go faster and faster and faster. But don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Look at Luke 21:36. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, this is a verse we'll cover later on in our study, maybe next week if we continue. But he says, don't let it get to you. See, one of the tricks of the devil, and this is for you, a lot of you out there, he tries to get you to not live one day at a time, but always looking ahead. What if this happens, or what if this doesn't happen? I don't know who I'm talking to, but right now, I take authority over this lie from the devil and this strategy of the devil that has you looking at things down the road that might not even ever happen. And so, I'm telling you, the rapture, that's a word I use very hesitantly for some of you because it needs to be explained, and maybe we'll talk about that next week. But I believe in something called the rapture, and I believe it's coming, and so we might not see a lot of these things that lie ahead. Psalms 91. And I want you to say with me at home or wherever you're at, this is the word of the Lord. Say with me, this is the word of the Lord. Say it again. This is the word of the Lord. Now look at Psalms 91, 1 through 3. Then it says, Psalm 91, 1 through 3, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow. Now look at that shadow. When you're in the shadow of something, you're really close. So if you abide in the Lord, that's doing your devotions, reading and praying, the shadow of God Almighty will be right over you. It means he's going to be very close to you. And I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. And what does he deliver you from? Deadly pestilence. Now look at the word deliver in the Greek. In fact, I didn't put it up for you. I guess I did. In the Hebrew, excuse me, not the Greek, it says the power of one entity over the power of another. So in the Bible, it doesn't mean you're not going to go through bad things. It means the bad things you go through, if you believe in faith and pray, God will override those with better stuff. Now, look at verse 5 through 11 in Psalms 91. You will not be afraid of the terror by night. I rebuke fear right now. I don't know why, but there's so many people out there that are obsessed with fear right now. You go to the grocery store, you're afraid. You go to Home Depot, you're afraid. Somebody hugs you and you don't sleep for a week thinking, I've got it, I've got it. It says, if you abide in the Lord, you will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day. You won't be afraid of the pestilence that stalks in darkness or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You'll only look on it with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. Now, what does that say? We're dwelling with him. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he'll give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. I love it. Now, I'm not saying at all that Christians won't go through adversity. I've never preached that in my life. I'm just saying that some of us might get sick. Some of us might lose our jobs. We might lose a lot of things. And I'm just saying to you that God's power is greater than anything we lose. And if we'll wait on him and pray and seek him, he has the power to override that stuff with his grace. Now, no matter what we're going through, three things will always be true. Number one is, God said he'd give us grace in the time of need. He didn't say he'd give it before or after. He said, in the time of need, I'll give you grace. And God very often wants to give people grace through us. I wished every day you'd get up, maybe sing a song that I used to sing. When I was really young in the Lord, I'd get up and say, my hands belong to you, Lord, my hands belong to you. My hands belong to you, and I lift them up to you. And I'd go through, my mouth belongs to you, Lord, my mouth belongs to you, and I lift it up to you, and on and on and on. See, a lot of people are waiting for the grace of God that needs to come through us. A word needs to come through us. $100 needs to come through us. A dish on the front doorstep needs to come through us. The second thing that'll always be true no matter what is we have nothing to fear because we're going to live forever. 2 weeks ago in my sermon, I gave you some scenarios and said, I said, what is the worst case scenario in that scenario? And we came to the same conclusion every time, it's death. And when a Christian dies, where does he go? He goes to heaven. So the worst case scenario is going to heaven, right? And the third thing that'll always be true no matter what is God said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And he's with you right now in the trial. Look at verse 12 through 15. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. But it will what? It will lead to an opportunity. What is it? It'll lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Wow. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves, for I'll give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. Wow. He says, you got to reframe your thinking. That if bad stuff happens and you get put in bad places, it's for the gospel's sake. For you to give a testimony. And he says, please be organic. Don't try to think about what you're going to say beforehand or what you're going to do beforehand. He says, let me tell you in the moment. Because then it'll be organic. It'll be fresh off the cuff. That's called walking in the Spirit. Whoa, I love it. Now, what he said is, the instructions he gave here, he said, this is the stuff that's going to happen between now and AD 70. And so he's answering two questions here. He said, they're going to do this to you and that to you, but he's talking precisely to them. Now, notice that he said here, our focus is to never be on the trial itself, but our focus is to be on how can we display the presence of Jesus in the trial. That's it. How do we bring Jesus into the trial? How do we show people his presence? And remember, you can't have a testimony without a test. Now, right now, a lot of you are in trials, and I'm going to ask you to do something with me. Right now, I want you to answer the question. Father God, anoint them to answer this in Jesus' name. How can you bring glory to God in your trial? On the way here today, I had an accident. I was backing out of my garage somehow. I don't know how it happened. I probably hit my keypad accidentally. And the trunk of my hood came up just as I was backing out of the garage. And, oh, it was a catastrophe. I probably caused $4,000 worth of damage to my car. I destroyed my garage door. It was stuck in my garage. My back panel was, I couldn't get it out. But you know what? I prayed. God, I'm going to get some opportunities that I would not have normally got. I'm going to get a minister to the person that comes out and puts a garage door on. I'm going to get a minister to the people at the car place. Now, it's not the way I preferred it, but I'm going to make good out of it, I promise you. Now jump down to verse 20, 21. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. For those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city. Again, he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So he's answering two questions at one, but now he's going to change things. Look at verse 24. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, and will be led captive into all nations. and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. Notice past tense. He's talking about something now. He says, they're going to fall by the edge of the sword, speaking in 70 AD. And then they'll be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So now he's moving right on and saying, I've answered your question about what's going to happen between now and 70 AD, or at least answered some of them. And now I'm going to lead you up to the more of the years beyond this. And these verses, I think, now start pertaining to the 20th century. And what he's saying here, he says, you know what? Rome's going to come in under the general Titus, going to destroy the city in the 70 AD, and then the Jewish people are going to be dispersed throughout the whole world, gone from their homeland. And the Gentiles are going to take over the Holy Land until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Here's another prophetic event. In June 1967, Israel went in and once again took authority of Jerusalem and the holy city. And the time of the Gentiles was fulfilled in 1967. Oh, that's a big prophetic event, because when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, things are really going to start popping. We're kind of living in borrowed time right now. Now Luke launches us into the time leading up and the fulfillment of the 7-year tribulation period. He's really rapidly going forward. Because, see, all of this has to happen before the Lord comes back. So he's answering two questions. Look at verse 25, 26. Now we're getting to the 7-year tribulation period and the proximity of getting close to it and even in it. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, there's two things I want you to see here. Number one, there's going to be sign in the sun and the moon and the stars in the heavens. Now, right now, you might not know it, but we've got hundreds and thousands of asteroids, comets, meteorites flying all around up there. I mean, it's crazy. A lot of you aren't aware of it because you're not keeping up on it. But it was just, I think, Thursday night that an asteroid came really close to the Earth. It was closer to the Earth than the moon just three nights ago. And so all of this is happening. And in the 7-year tribulation period, it's really going to get crazy. I don't know if these meteorites are going to start falling and these asteroids. Well, we see some of it written out in Revelation. It's going to get crazy. Look at Revelation 6, 12, and 13. Revelation 6, 12, and 13. I probably didn't put it in, but I'll just say this much. I do have it. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became a sackcloth, black, made of hair. The whole moon became like blood. The stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. He says, man, things are going to start falling from the sky, but this is during the 7-year tribulation period. He said, like when you shake a fruit tree or a great wind comes and the fruit starts falling from the tree. So the book of Luke and Revelation line right up. The second thing I really want you to see here is men fainting from fear. Men's hearts fainting from fear. Now, it said there's going to be perplexity, it said in Luke. It said that in the one verse, perplexity. The next verse says men's hearts are fainting because of fear. Now, the definition of perplexity is really interesting. It's, in the Greek, it's to have no way out and to be at a loss. It says in the last days there'll be perplexity. People will feel like they have no way out. They'll be at a loss. And because of that, men are really going to start getting discouraged and depressed. Now, listen to me. Unfortunately, the suicide rate is starting to skyrocket in some areas right now. According to the Washington Examiner, in Knox County, Tennessee, in 1 week in March, there were more deaths from people committing suicide than the whole coronavirus in the whole state. It's getting crazy. During March 2020, the Disaster Distress Helpline said there was a 338% increase in volume of calls compared to February 2020. What's going on? I think it's a combination of things that are happening to us. Social isolation, people losing their jobs. There's fear of dying. I'm going to get the virus. I'm going to die. My wife isn't with me anymore. And there's an increase, unfortunately, of alcohol use, drug use. People are going back to old vices and old sins. And people don't have any hope. Isn't that our generation today? No hope. What little hope we had is gone. The virus, we have no hope. It's going to kill all of us, some of you think. The economic problems, the economy, why? How are we going to bail out? We're throwing all this money at the problem. Gang wars, what? We can't stop it. Teen drugs, they're using these vapes now and everything. And 5G cell phone coverage. I really have a problem with that one. Don't get me started. They're putting in all these 5G telephone towers, and I'll talk to you more about that later on, but I believe this is danger waiting to happen. Homelessness, and we go, there's nothing out there good. Who's going to help? I'm at a loss. There's no way out. The Bible says there would be perplexity in people's hearts in the last days. Now, you know, suicide is simply, it's simply the result of surrendering to fear. That's exactly what it is, surrendering to fear. I'm almost through. Look at verse 27, 28. Then they'll see the Son of Man is coming in a cloud. Now, this cloud might be the cloud of witnesses, that we might be the cloud. It says they will see the whole world. They're going to see the Son of Man is coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, begin, and they're beginning, straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Ho, ho, boy, do I have some stuff to say to you right now. Next week. LOL, next week. Let me throw in one more verse real quick, and then I'll go to next week. But in 21, it says, when you see these things begin to happen, and believe me, they're beginning to happen, stay alert. At all times, you can't get drunk anymore. You can't get filled with drugs. Praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and stand before the Son of Man. We're supposed to pray. Now listen to me. Oh, I have so much more to say to you. Do I dare come back next week and continue? Maybe you can message me on Facebook. Give me an email and say, hey, I want to hear more of this. And then I can pray about coming back, because I have a lot more to say. Gang, we need to pray. The Lord is coming back. It said in our text this morning that when you see these things happening, we're to straighten up and lift our heads up, because our redemption draws near. And we're to pray. Today's the day for prayer. Someone gave this to me today by Samuel Chadwick, and I'm going to read it for you in closing. And it says, Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, nothing from prayerless works, nothing from prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, and he mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. I'm going to pray right now, a very simple prayer. Father God, open the hearts of the people to hear your voice. Open the hearts of the people, Lord, and give them courage today that it's time to make a change. If you're out there today and you've never received the Lord as your Savior, it's real simple. You just need to come to a place where you say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I want to begin to serve the Lord. I want to begin to live for God. I want to change families. I want to become one of God's kids. And so if that's you today, just simply pray and say, Lord, forgive me for all of my sins, and send the Holy Spirit to come and live in my body and change who I am, and give me the power I need to walk with you change my desires, change my outlook. God, you come and live inside of me and make me one of your kids today. And I will live for you the rest of my life. That is my decision. That is my desire. I'm tired of going that way. So right now, fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the strength I need to start living for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now you're a new creature in Christ. You go out there and let the journey begin. Love you guys, and I will see you real soon right here, okay? God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.